Well, he thought, I forgot about these Psalms. No, I didn't. We're gonna finish them, Lord willing, one at a time. We have a series that we're dealing with back there, hoping to complete them, and it's called the 15 Steps of Surrender. And it deals with the 15 Psalms in what is called the Psalms of Ascent, and or Songs of Degrees, but they mean the same thing. It means steps upward. And as I have prefaced each one of these, I will for a moment mention it again, because it's been 2 or 3 weeks since I touched on one of these. Each one of these Psalms, to me, makes me understand that every step up with God is a step of surrender. You cannot take a step toward God without surrendering something in your life. And I want to bring to you tonight the 128th Psalm. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. I'm going to read the whole Psalm. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible tonight. No special reason, except I just forgot my King James Version, okay? Blessed is everyone who fears or reveres and worships the Lord, who walks in His ways and lives according to His commandments. For ye shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. Blessed, which means fortunate and enviable, shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Your wives shall be like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house. Your children shall be like olive plants round about your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. We pray that as we share those things that you have put in our heart, that we might understand and see the blessing of this psalm. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two issues in this psalm. And in these issues, there is a challenge. There's a challenge to you and I as the children of God. It is in the first verse when he said, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Now, we have two things here. First of all, he's talking about the fear of the Lord. And second of all, he's talking about walking in the way of the Lord. And then the rest of the psalm describes the reward of walking in the concept of the first verse. So we're going to spend a lot of our time tonight, or as much time as we need to, I hope, on what he's describing here. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways, is the way the King James Version reads. David made a statement one time that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, how many of you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is different than knowledge. If you read in the Proverbs, wisdom came forth from God. Wisdom comes forth from God. Wisdom is that kind of knowledge that God imparts to us that helps us to walk in His way. Knowledge, on the other hand, can cause you to walk in all kind of directions if you're not careful. So the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There are many people that have no spiritual wisdom about their relationship with God because they do not fear the Lord. Now, I want you to think about it. Kathy handed me a little, what do you call it, little newsletter, Kathy, is that what it is? All right. And I read it very quickly. There was an article in there from a prisoner that's down at Parchman. And it said exactly what I needed to say tonight. Here's a young man that grew up in church. A young man that had a relationship with God at one time, or an on and off relationship. He wanted God to be there when he needed him. But there was no real service for God in his life. And after a while, he talked about how that he started smoking when he was 9 or 10 years old, and the price that he paid later on. He started drinking when he was 10 or 12 years old, and then he told about being an alcoholic. You know, that first little cigarette, that first little bottle of beer, that first little taste of liquor, it doesn't seem like so much when you do it until you look down the road and see the bondage that it gets you into and you can't get out of by yourself. He talked about how that he kept coming to God and getting away from God until finally, he killed someone in a robbery. And now he's in prison for a long-term situation. But I thought about what he said. And I thought about how many Christians have that kind of flippant attitude about God. That I can take God or leave God. I can serve God on my own impulses. I can serve God when it suits me to serve God. When I've got troubles in my life, when I got problems in my life, then I'll serve God. I've often said some people think God's a spare tire. You just take him out and use him when you got trouble in your life, and then put him back when everything's all right. But this young man is typical. One of the things that Brother Butch and I have talked about, and Brother Buck, and I think Brother Ronnie has started some kind of ministry there with him. One of the things that you're going to learn if you go down to Parchman and start visiting with a lot of these people is to find out how many of these people at one time were saved and had a relationship with God. We're talking about people that have been incarcerated for very severe crimes, most of murder, rape, mayhem, some kind of tremendous act of violence against society and humanity. Now, keep this in mind. Here are people that the majority of them, when you start talking to them, or a lot of them anyway, I'm not knowledgeable enough to say the majority, but from what Brother Butch tells me, that there are, he's talked to numbers of these people, and a lot of them will tell you that, oh yeah, I'm saved. You know, I'm a saved person. Well, and they really don't show much remorse over what they did, but yet they think, hey, I'm saved. Now, what I'm about to say, I don't want you to take in the wrong way. But what we're seeing is the fruit of a teaching that's prevalent in our hour that says that you can get saved, and as long as you got saved one time, it's all right. Everything's going to be all right in your life. You're always going to be right with God. Brother, that's false. It is a false teaching, and if you want to follow it through, well, I'm not going to teach on that tonight, but I'm still trying to say that it takes away the fear of God out of a person's life. It takes away the fear of God. And you have people that don't mind cheating you or stealing from you or violating you somehow simply because they've got the concept in their life that it's all right, you know. God will forgive me. It's all be over and everything. One of these days I'm going to die and go to heaven. That's all there is to it. But I think there's going to be some surprises one of these days. Hello? I've been praying about something, and I guess that's why I came to this message tonight out of the number of things we could have preached tonight. But I came to this message because it began to speak to me of something that's been in my heart for a long time, and that is I have seen a lack of the fear of God in people. Church people, people that cross the threshold of the church every week and come and sit down with us. You see people who have a lack of the fear of God. And I want to share something along that line with you for just a minute. I see people who involve themselves in sin, things that they know are not the will of God, and yet they involve themselves in it, and they seem to be unconcerned and unconvicted about their sin. Now, something is terribly wrong when a person can sin that claims to know God, that claims to be walking on with God, and yet they can do these things over and over and over again and have no conscience about what they're doing. Something is terribly wrong with a doctrine that allows you to do that. As I was studying this to share it with you, I began to think about people who act as though they can take or leave God's word and God's instructions in our life and just they act as if it's optional. How many of you know what an option is? It's something that you go down to buy a car and they say, well, the air conditioner is extra. It's optional. It doesn't come standard with the car. Well, now, if you live in Mississippi, you better have air conditioner in your car. Amen. Brother Jim's got a 450 air conditioner in his car. Rolls down four windows and goes 50 miles an hour. I guess it touches me so much because of something that God did in my life many years ago. I'm thankful for two things that God let me experience in my life. The first one was God let me experience what it's like to die without Jesus Christ. I didn't know what was happening. I was sitting in the basement of my wife's parents' home, and all of a sudden I felt like I was dying. I felt my spirit leaving my body. And I was a Christian at that time, but God was allowing me to experience what it's like to die and not know Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it was the most fearful thing I suppose that ever happened in my life. And you talk about putting the fear of God in me, it put the fear of God in my life. If I could take every Christian here tonight and dangle you over hell for 5 seconds, I'll guarantee you I could put the fear of God in your life. Amen. God allowed me to see what it was like. I remember as I could feel my spirit leaving my body, I began to catch a vision of spiritual things. I began to see the very gate of hell itself. And over the gate of hell was this sign: this is your reward forever. And the thing that petrified me was I knew that once I entered that gate that I would never come out, that I would never have another chance, that I would never be able to leave that place, that was my doom for eternity. Now, you talk about fear, my friend. I had fear. Because I thought at that moment, and nobody could have convinced me any different, I thought at that moment that's where I was going. And I began to cry out to the Lord. My wife will remember this. I just screamed and hollered and carried on. God, help me. God, forgive, whatever. And I remember how that it bounced back in my face. And a scripture came to me from the book of Proverbs. And out of the book of Proverbs, God said this, something this way. It's been a long time since I looked the scripture up. But it's something like this: in the day that I dealt with you, you ignored me. Now, that's not exactly the quotation, but that's what it means. You ignored me. You would have, I think that the scripture says, you would have none of my reproof. So in the day of your calamity, I will laugh and I will mock. That's what the Word of God said. And that thing come back in my face. There's a lot of people have got the idea, in the last few moments of my life, I'm going to holler out to God and He's going to save me. Folks, I can say wrong. People that have ignored God and turned their back on God and trampled the blood of Jesus Christ all their life think that they're going to make it in on a shoestring in the last second. They're wrong. God will laugh in their face. Brother Potter, how can that be? God? Because God's blood has been trampled. The Scripture talks about those who trample the blood of Christ and ignore God all their life, thinking that the last minute they're going to make it in. They're not. Now, God touched me that day and began to revive me. But I'm going to tell you something. It scared me. And it scared me so bad. It's still in my mind right now tonight. I can still smell what I smelled that day. I could still hear in my spirit the screams of people who were in that place. Folks, I've been there. I've heard it. I know what I'm talking about. That was the last thing on my mind that day. I wasn't trying to think about something like that. It just happened. The second thing that happened one time was God let me experience what it's like to die as a Christian. And I tell you, there is no greater joy. All of a sudden, that God that we can't seem to find anywhere is everywhere. Mark my words tonight and remember them well on your dying bed. The moment that you start to pass from this life to the next, the thing that's going to go through your mind. You ever had people say that their life flashed before them? It does. It does. I began to think about all the things that I could have done for God. And that moment I felt that was happening to me. I began to think about all the time that I had wasted when I could have been doing something for God. I felt so small, so insignificant. But I still knew that God loved me and I was His child. And for the next few moments, it seemed like every molecule of the universe was full of God. God was everywhere. He was everywhere. And I knew that I was going to live forever in the presence of God. What a marvelous thing. Now, you can choose to believe what I say tonight or not. But I was there. I experienced it. I felt it. Two times in my life I've experienced something like this. Once, what it was like to die without God. And the second one, it was like to die with God. I thank God for giving me those experiences. I was thinking tonight about the rich man that lifted up his eyes in hell. And it wasn't because he was rich. Abraham was a rich man, and yet he's the father of the faithful. It wasn't because he was rich. Do you remember something that in that passage of Scripture, Jesus was talking about this story, and the rich man was in hell trying to get Abraham to send Lazarus back? And he said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." Now what that says to me was that these men, these brothers, and this man who died, they had ignored the Word of God. This man knew about Moses and the prophets because he said so. But what they had done, they had never taken the time to work things out between them and God. They just felt like because they were Israelites. Now, maybe there's something in this message you don't see. There were people who felt like that just because they were Israelites that they were automatically brought into God's presence. It wasn't so. It's what Jesus was trying to get across to them. They had ignored the Word of God. They had ignored the teaching of the Word of God. It's the same message that Jesus tries to get across about another rich man who had a plenteous harvest, an abundant harvest, and he brought it all in. And then he said, "I'm going to tear down my old barns, build bigger barns, and bestow all the fruits of my labor." And, you know, I was reading that one day, and I asked myself, I said, "God, It's not wrong, I know, to work hard. The man had worked hard. He had an abundant harvest. But why? Why do you say to this man, this night, you fool, your soul shall be required of thee? Here's a man who spent all of his time trying to get ready to live in this world and spent no time at all preparing for the next one. Now, the same conclusion can be drawn from both stories. Here are people that had the truth of God and yet neglected it, turned their back on it, ignored it, felt like that maybe one day they just get in by the skin of their teeth, but they missed it. I do not believe that the fear of God is a bondage. And there are people tonight who would hear what I'm saying and they would say, Brother Potter, you're trying to preach people into bondage. No, I'm not. I'm trying to preach you out of hell. I want you to understand that if you're going to walk with God, it's going to be because of a relationship with Him. My pastor used to say this years ago, and I've never forgot it. He said, I wouldn't go to hell by accident. Amen. If you're going to go to hell, go on purpose. Make up your mind that's where you're going. Live like it. Just help yourself. But don't go to hell by accident. Don't live in church and be a part of it. Mess around with God and die and miss heaven by accident. Nobody goes to heaven by accident. Everybody that ever went to heaven went on purpose. They chose to walk with God. So David tries to get across something to us here. Twice in this psalm, David talks about fearing God. If you fear the Lord, if you live in awe, it means three things. The fear of the Lord, it means to reverence and worship God. It means to be in awe of God. And then, of course, the word that we use, fear. It does not mean an unhealthy fear. I've seen people who had unhealthy fears about God. That's not what I'm trying to get across to you tonight. God is a God of love, but God is also a God of wrath. If we live in such a way that we walk with Him, we have nothing to fear from God. That's what the psalmist is trying to say. If you fear the Lord and who walks in His way, walking in the way of God is the result of the fear of the Lord. I don't think I've heard one amen tonight, but that's all right. The person who walks with God because they respect God, because they have a reverence for God, because they are in awe of God. David talked about, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. These are psalms of surrender. In this particular passage, as I've tried to get across to you, these are 15 steps of surrender. The second thing that this thing speaks to me about is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, where it talks about, as for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's wonderful. The most wonderful thing in my life is to know that the Spirit of God is in charge of my life. There is nothing greater. There is nothing greater in my life that I rejoice over any more than to know that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit fill my life and they direct my path and walk with me. The scripture does not say, God does not say to you, you just walk in the way that you want to walk and I'll bless it. Doesn't say that. But there's a lot of people have got that concept about God. Well, I'll just go the way I want and God can bless my life. He doesn't do that. Isaiah the prophet said, speaking for the Lord, "My ways are not your ways." Hello? How many of you know God's ways are not our ways? We look at the way he led Israel through the wilderness to prove them for 40 years. And they were being led by the Spirit the whole time, the cloud, the fire. God was leading them. There are many people that talk about being led by the Spirit of God, and yet they have no concept of what it means to be led by the Spirit. I shared with you Sunday night on how God, as he leads us, and as Joshua the high priest stood before God, the angel of the Lord, that God stripped him of his filthy clothing to put on the righteous robe. And every Christian that follows God, there's going to be that stripping. There's going to be that tearing away of that which offends God. Many Christians do not understand that process. They don't know why God is taking things out of their life, but he does. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not the ways that we would do things. Many times in life, I've seen God do things that whenever I looked at him, I said, "God, I don't believe I'd have done it that way." Has that ever happened to you? I was thinking this evening about 1972 when John was born. I had promised the hospital that I would pay them within a certain amount of time. And I needed $800 right then. You know, I've said it many times, like a dead man needs a casket. I needed $800. And the Lord had opened up a revival for me in Oklahoma City, and I went out there. And God had told me when I went to that church, twice before I had gone to that church and let them pull and pull and pull and pull money. And both times, after I come home from there, God made me fast 12 days. I said 12 days, folks. That's a long time. Try it sometime. And God made me do that to cleanse my spirit from that association. Well, here I was going to go out there the third time, and when I walked out there the third time, listen, I don't like to fast any more than you do. I went to the pastor of that church and the song leader, and the folks took up the offer, and I sat out with them. I said, "Listen, people, you can beg and plead for all the money you want for you, but don't you beg for a dime for me. You can tell the people this offering goes to Brother Potter. You can pass the plate, and that's it. Don't you say a word. Brother, I didn't want to come back and fast. I didn't." You know what the pastor told me? He said, you'll have to borrow money to get home. If I don't get up there and do this," he said, "these people, that's the way they give. And if you don't let me do that, then you'll have to borrow money to get home." I said, "So be it." I didn't care if I had to borrow money to get home. I wasn't going to fast 12 more days when I got home. So the first three nights of that revival, my part of the offering was $50. I was praying and I said, "God, there's not but two more nights." Thursday morning, God spoke to me. And I had received $50 in 3 days. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "I want you to give it away." Now, folks, God's ways are not our ways. I was telling the Lord, "Now, Lord, I need this money. I can't give away $50. I need it." But God spoke to me and gave me a name and told me who to send it to. So that particular morning, I called my wife, and we was talking on the phone, and she spoke to me, and she said, "You know, I feel like we're supposed to send Brother Larry $50. I said, "That's the Lord, because that's what God has spoke to me." God confirmed it through her. And I told her, I said, "You just write the check, and I'll deposit the money when I get back home in the bank," because I was going to be home before the check would get back. That night in the offering, there was a woman that came who was an Indian woman. Her name was Savage. That's why I remember it, I guess. And she had some property outside of Oklahoma City and had it all planted in oil wells. She dropped a check in the offering that night that not only took care of all my needs going out there and back, took care of that $800 I needed too, just like that. Praise God. And I never will forget that pastor's look on his face. And he could not understand how God could do something by faith. He just didn't understand it. He thought you had to beg and pull and plead and so on like that. And it just amazed them how that God had blessed me, or the way that I would do that. That His ways are past finding out. And to walk in His way very often is going to be contrary to your own thinking. Are you listening to me? It's going to be contrary to the way that you think. I remember in 1984 when God began to reveal the kingdom of God to me, and how that He just stripped me down completely. I'll never forget how God spoke to me that day when I had failed. I had failed God in every way I guess that couldn't that I knew to fail Him. I hadn't robbed anybody or murdered anybody, but you know, I just failed God. And when I fell on my face that day before Him and I said, God, there's nothing in my life, not one thing that I can see in me that is useful to You, that is meaningful to You. And I said, God, spiritually, there's nothing in me that You can accept. And I was weeping before God. I won't go through the whole story, but God had brought me to that place. And God spoke to me in that moment, and He said, welcome to the kingdom. And He quoted to me Matthew 5:3, concerning blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. And for the first time in my life, I understood the kingdom of God. Now, I say that tonight for a reason. It's not something that I would have ever figured out in my mind. It was not something that my thoughts could have ever grasped. It came by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. That there is nothing in you and I. We can never be spiritual enough for God to accept us. The only acceptance that we'll ever have from God is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You understand that? I hope so now. And God made me to understand the kingdom. That it was by the grace of God. That God's kingdom becomes established in us when we quit looking at ourselves because we're spiritually bankrupt. And we have to understand that He is the kingdom. He is the kingdom in our life. And so from there we must learn to walk in the Spirit. Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Now, the psalmist here is telling us something. If you fear God, you're going to walk with God. You're going to worship the Lord, and you're going to walk in His ways. And if you do that, special things are going to begin to happen. If He leads in your life, then He is, I took the words of this psalm and kind of put them in my own words. Then He will reward the labor of your hands. He will reward your labor. Now, that doesn't mean that you're earning a relationship with God. It means that God is going to prosper what your hand has been sent to do. Now, I want to take these not in a natural sense, but in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense. You know, the reward of your labor is like you go out there, you plant something, you work the soil, you put the fertilizer in, you keep the weeds down, and after a while, for all of your labor, you reap a harvest. God is saying to you and I, if we'll fear God, if we will walk with God, then we're going to have a harvest in our life of a blessing of the labor that we have instituted into the kingdom of God. Secondly, he said, you will be happy, or it will be well with thee. Hallelujah. There's a lot of folks tonight that like to be happy and don't know what happiness is. Have no idea where happiness comes from. Happiness comes from walking with God. I can tell you that right now. You'll never find happiness in things. Things don't make you happy. Now, for just a few moments, you might be elated about something, but you'll never find true and lasting happiness in things. I know people who go from one thing to the other. Got to buy this, got to buy that, got to buy the other. Now, there's nothing wrong with buying something, except if you're buying it to make you happy. You got the wrong attitude, because it's not going to make you happy. I have seen people, now I know I keep grinding this same axe over and over again, but I think it needs to be ground. I've seen people who thought, well, I'm going to marry that girl or marry that boy, and that's going to make me happy. No, it's not. All of you husbands should have said amen. It is not being married to that person that's going to make you happy. If you're not happy before you get married, you're not going to be happy after you get married. Do I need to say that again? There are people that have this Hollywood concept about love and marriage, and the fairy tale concept. Well, Prince Charming married this wonderful looking lady, and they were happy together forever after. Don't work that way, people. Happiness comes from the joy of your spirit. Happiness, true happiness. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to live in a $200,000 house to be happy. You can be happy in a hovel. You know what a hovel is, don't you? That's a chicken shed with a wall nailed around it. You can be happy in a hovel if God is in your life. Amen. There are people who say, oh, if I had a lot of money, I'd be happy. If you're not happy without money, you won't be happy with it. The psalmist understood that true happiness comes from having the fear of God in your life and walking with God. Then you can be happy. Our generation is full of people who think that happiness is in a needle, or an appeal, or a bottle. Illicit sex, whatever. But it's not. It's not. Happiness, true happiness that comes from the joy within you, comes from that knowing that you have a relationship with God. Knowing it. The saddest people that I know are people that are looking for happiness in all the wrong places. Our Constitution guarantees the pursuit of happiness. And there are people pursuing it in many directions. But the happiest people I know are people that have a relationship with God. Amen. It's true. That have a relationship. You shall be happy, for it shall be well with thee. You shall be fruitful. You know, Jesus told us if we abided in Him, we would bear fruit. You can know everything you need to know about spirituality and it will not make you spiritual. Quit worrying about knowing something to be spiritual. All real spirituality and fruitfulness is based upon a day-by-day living relationship with God. Your blessing will proceed from the Lord. There are two kinds of blessings in this life. There are those that come from Satan, there are those that come from God. Satan's blessing will destroy you. The blessing of God won't do anything but just encourage you and keep you on. Amen. I've seen people that got a lot of money, and just because it was money, they said, "Oh, this is God." But it destroyed them. It destroyed them. Maybe God wasn't the source of that. Your blessing will proceed from the Lord. Now let's examine that for just a minute. Have you ever prayed for something and God didn't answer your prayer? He gave you something else instead. He didn't give you what you asked for, but He gave you what you needed. God ever do you that way? Then your blessing has proceeded from the Lord. Amen. I can't help but think of a country song that I heard 2 or 3 years ago. That's a country song. I thought it was a religious song when I first heard it. You know, sometimes I got one of them things in my truck. I just punch them buttons. You know, it's kind of like a clicker on a TV. You know, and I'll just punch them buttons sometime. And if I hear something that interests me, I'll stop and listen to it. Well, I heard this song where this guy was saying, "Thank God for unanswered prayer." And I thought, well, this sounds like a Christian song, you know. So I started listening to it. But it wasn't. It was a country song. But it was kind of funny about this guy that went to this school reunion. And he had begged God to let him marry this certain lady, you know. It was in school. And then 20 years later, when he saw her, he started saying, "Thank God for unanswered prayer." Of course, I'm sure that shoe could fit on either foot. But when your blessing proceeds from the Lord, He blesses you with the things that you need, not necessarily want. And sometimes what you want, if it won't hinder your walk with Him. But He makes sure that you get what you need. Amen. Remember that. Praise God. He makes sure you get what you need. Amen. And what I mean is, you know, sometimes we ask God for things that would harm us and would harm others if we had them. But we're not wise enough to know that. We're not wise enough to understand that. And so God withholds from us the thing that we asked for and then gives us something else instead. We say, "God, why did you do that?" And He gently reminds us, "All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, those who are the called according to His purpose." So your blessing proceeds from the Lord. And last but not least, He talks about great fruitfulness. Yes, may you see your children's children. He's talking about your grandchildren, isn't he? Peace be upon you. Now, some of you are not old enough to have grandchildren yet, but when you get grandchildren, you'll understand what he's talking about. Grandchildren are God's reward for not killing your children. Hello? You change. You really do. You change, you know. Concerning your grandchildren. You know, when your kids walked up to you and asked you for a quarter, you started giving them a lecture on how hard a quarter was to come by and how they needed to work for it. Your grandkid walks up and asks you for some money. "Here, kid, take $5, you know. Hello? Sister Potter and I had breakfast at Shoney's this morning, and I noticed there was a elderly couple sitting across from us there, and they had a little blonde-headed girl with them. Reminded me a little bit about Jessie when I saw her. She looked similar. And they were doting over her, you know, just trying to give her everything she wanted, you know. But the psalmist here is talking about the blessedness of not only are you going to see the fruit of your labor, you're going to see that fruit multiplied in your life. You're going to see it where you're going to see the reward of your labor and all the good things that God does. You know, one of the greatest blessings in my life, Brother Ronnie and I and Brother Jack went out last night for supper, and we just had the best time. We just enjoyed ourselves tremendously. I thought we were going to get thrown out of the restaurant a time or two for making so much noise. Anytime you're with Brother Jack, that's what's going to happen, you know. But we laughed and we shared together and just had a wonderful time. And one of the greatest joys of my life is to see people that I've had a chance to minister to and to guide along and to help and to see them bringing forth children in the kingdom of God. It's marvelous to see spiritual grandchildren, so to speak, and the blessing and the peace of God. And as we began to share with Jack last night, and Jack began to share with us so much of what God has shared with me, Jack was saying out of his own mouth, the same spirit of the Word, the same wisdom of the Word, the same power of the Word, I began to hear it coming out of Jack. And I thought, God, this is the investment. This is the investment that we've made in this man coming out. Amen. Praise God. It's something to see God bless people and bring them out to where they can do something for the kingdom of God. So I certainly don't want to leave you with a bad taste in your mouth tonight, but I don't want to preach it to you in such a way that you feel like that you can just live and walk anyway with God. You can't. You need to have the fear of God in your life. And the fear of God will cause wisdom to come into your life that you may walk with God. And if you walk with God, you're going to be blessed. God's going to bless you. He's going to bless your life. The fruit of your hands. He says He'll make our way to prosper. Brother, that's exactly... the devil's fought us for years, but it's prospered anyway. Amen. You know, I know this is a little bitty church, and most of you know we're fixing to leave for Sweden. But on Judgment Day, when we stand before God for rewards, I'm going to tell you people something. David made a rule in Israel. One time when they were out to battle, an enemy came and stole away their wives, their children, their goods. And they had to pursue that enemy, and God helped them, and they pursued and took over. In fact, the men wanted to stone David because of what happened. But the scripture there says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Brother, if you know God, you know where your encouragement comes from, don't you? And he pursued and overtook these people and took back everything he'd lost and more besides. But they made a rule in Israel then, from that time on, that whenever they went out to battle, they always left some people behind to guard the stuff. That's what they called it, the stuff. And David, some of David's men said, well, those people that don't go to battle said, they're not going to get anything. They're not going to get any of the spoils. And David said, you're a wicked man. Those that go to battle and those that stay behind and protect the stuff will share equally and alike. I don't know how many souls that the churches of this town have seen brought to God. But I have seen in Sweden a minimum of 10,000 people come forward and turn their life over to Jesus Christ. I don't believe there's a church in this town that can match that. We don't show it on the outside. You can't see it by looking in the pews here tonight. But this church is responsible, this ministry and you people, for for helping me to go and sending me and allowing me to go and blessing me and praying for me while I'm there. Brother David's got a prayer and fast chart back there for you. Be a part of it. Amen. We want you to seek God the whole time we're gone, because then you're gonna stick with the stuff. Amen. And God's going to bless you. And one of these days when you stand before God, He's going to reward you not for just being here, but for all the souls that were brought into the kingdom of God through the ministry of this church and through your blessing upon that ministry. God's going to reward you. Amen. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to fear the Lord. Serve Him with gladness. Walk with Him. Of course, all of this requires the surrender of our own life. If I'm going to walk in God's way, it means I got to surrender my way, doesn't it? If I'm going to fear the Lord, it means that there are things in my life that I'm not going to allow. If I'm going to surrender to Him, it means that I'm going to allow Him to work through my life. So I encourage you tonight, if you do that, there are some tremendous benefits involved, both naturally and spiritually. I'm not going to try to spiritualize this whole thing tonight, because I'm going to tell you something. I have seen God reward me both spiritually and naturally. Amen. He's poured His Spirit out many times through things like this. So I encourage you tonight, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Some folks ain't got enough sense to fear the Lord, but God will teach him one of these days, I hope, to fear Him. But fear the Lord, amen. Fear the Lord in that proper sense. Have an awe for God. Have a reverence for God. Have a worship for God in your life. I'm not talking about that kind of a fear that puts people in the insane asylum. I'm not talking about that kind of a fear. That's the fear that has bondage. That's the fear that comes from the devil. Amen. There's two different kinds of fear. The kind of fear I'm talking about brings you into a right relationship with God. The other kind of fear puts you in a mental institution. Amen? Hallelujah. So, if you walk with God, you have nothing to fear. Amen. Praise God. But just walk with Him. Let's pray together. Father, I have shared tonight the message You put on my heart. And as David wrote in one of the other Psalms, Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in Your sight, O God. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Keep us. You know the flight that we're about to take and the journey we're about to go on. Keep us, O Father, in Thy grace. Protect us. Let Your angels be on the wings and with the pilots and in their guidance, and be a protection to us, Father, for our only hope is in You. Be with us on the journey, Father, that we may see souls swept into the kingdom of God. Let us return safely with a great testimony of the things that God has done, and be fruitful in Your kingdom. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I was about to say, let's do that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's have Jerry and John come up here with us, and we'll just gather around together and pray. Amen.